Hey guys, hope you all are doing well. Today we're going to be talking about the sun, the moon, and the star, with more emphasis on the sun itself. And they're all archetypes, yes, but as far as the sun goes, we're going to be taking a little bit of time and understanding the sun as the logos first, because I think in order to understand the archetype itself, we do need to understand what the Law of One says the sun is, and it being the logos itself, or sub logos, I should say. So let's get into a few things. This is out of session 11, question 4, and not really related to the sun, but I thought it was interesting. Is there a planet behind our sun, opposite to us in orbit, that we do not know about? And Ra says, there is a sphere in the area opposite your sun of a very, very cold nature, but large enough to skew certain statistical f figures. This sphere should not properly be called a planet, as it is locked in first density. So first density, the way the Law of One explains it, or the way that I understand it anyway, is the elements. So we have earth, air, water, and fire. And that's really precisely the way the earth was first formed. You had the elements come together first, and then eventually later on it transitioned into second, which is your plants and animals and other organisms in that. So this one out of session 41, question 5. In your last statement, did you mean that the sixth density entities are actually creating the manifestation of the sun in their density? So they're asking, are these sixth density entities responsible for creating what we see manifested as the sun itself? Ra answers, in this density, some entities whose means of reproduction is fusion, which may choose to perform this portion of experience as part of the beingness of the sun body. Thus, you may think of portions of the light as you receive as offspring of the generative expression of sixth density love. So, couple of things this brought me to, and it reminded me of our higher selves. There is a portion of ourselves that resides in sixth density, and that would be our higher self. So my question is, and I'm not expecting an answer, but what I thought about was, is a portion of ourselves connected in the sun this way? And I'll let you guys go down the rabbit hole on that one. But and in other places of the Law of One, you know, they mentioned they give a couple of different terms, sun disk and sun body. So when we're discussing manifestation of the sun, we're actually talking about the body of the sun, which is what we physically see with our eyes in the sky. This is the body of it. It is a light body, or a body made of light, but that is how our third density point of view sees this body that's manifested. Just a couple of points of view there, but let's move on. And actually, this is going backwards. This is question 4. This is giving a description of the sun and trying to build an understanding from the start, starting with intelligent infinity and getting to our present condition of being. I am having some difficulty, but I think I should go back and investigate our sun, since it is the sub-logos that creates all that we experience in this particular planetary system. Can you give me a description of the sun? Okay. The sun has, I'll try to get through most of this because I do feel like it's important as far as actually understanding what it is that we're looking at. What is it a manifestation of? The sun has various aspects in relation to intelligent infinity, to intelligent energy, and to each density of each planet. So it's connected through all the densities, 1 through 7, as you call these spheres. These differences extend into the metaphysical or time space part of your creation. So it's not just limited to what we see is physical reality, tangible things you can touch. In relationship to intelligent infinity, the sun body, here we go, with the sun body, equally with all parts of the infinite creation, part of that infinity. So end up being a sub logos, and I think it does go into this. The logos itself, of course, wanted to experience itself in all places. So once the sun itself gained, the free will aspect of this, it was able to create its own experience in this part of the galaxy. In relation to potentiated intelligent infinity, which makes use of intelligent energy, it is the offspring, shall we say, of the Logos for a much larger number of sublogoi. So logoi is the plural version of Logos. The relationship is hierarchical in the sublogos uses the intelligent energy and way set forth by the Logos and uses its free will to co-create the nascence of your densities as you experience them. So yeah, just as I explained, once the our sun gained its understanding of free will to co-create, so it's a co-creator just as much as we are, and it is helping co-create this part of existence in this area of the universe, essentially. In relationship to the densities, which is 1 through 7, the sun body may physically, as you would say, be seen to be a large body of gaseous elements undergoing the process of fusion and radiating heat and light. Okay, so that's physically what we see, right? And this fusion is being created by these six density entities. Metaphysically, the sun achieves a meaning to 4th through 7th density according to the growing abilities of entities in these densities to grasp the living creation and co-entity or other self nature of his sun body. So yeah, we do have a sun body as co-creators. Thus, by the sixth density, the sun may be visited and inhabited by those dwelling in time space, and may even be partially created from moment to moment by the processes of sixth density entities in their evolution. Very interesting. Okay, some of these are very quick, but I do feel like it's important to go over some of what comes up here. I may skip over. Okay, so this is 54, session 54. I would like to trace the energy that I can assume comes from the Logos. I'm going to make a statement and let you correct me on it. So, okay, from the Logos comes all frequencies of radiation of light. Those frequencies of radiation make up all the densities of experience that are created by that logos. I am assuming that the planetary system of our sun and all of its densities, again, 1 through 7, red through violet, is the total of the experience created by our sun as a logos. Is this correct? Yeah, Ross says this is correct. Okay. And I think this is talking about some of the terminology that Ra was using. There was some confusion on them using the word galaxy and the way that we understand a galaxy of billions of stars, they were actually at first using the terminology to talk about like a solar system itself. And they say, yeah, it would be an actual galaxy as far as we're concerned. Here we go. I'm going to skip that one, so I explained it. Is our sun as we know it a sub-logos or the physical manifestation of a sub-logos? Ra says, yes, this is correct. Okay. Moving on to the next one. Then our sun is a sub-logos of the logos that is the major galactic logos. So when they're talking about the logos, that would be galactic level, billions of stars, right? Our sun would be a sub-logos, much like planets to a sun, you have the sun to the galactic logos. Okay. So then, are there any sub-sub-logos that are found in our planetary system that are logos that are sub to our sun? This is correct. And I believe you're talking about the planetary. Oh, no. Yeah. So would you give me an example of one of those, the sub-sub-logos? And that would be your mind-body-spirit complex. We are sub-sub to the galactic. So much like parent to child and then grandchild. Okay. Then every entity that exists would be example of a sub-sub logos. This is correct. Ross says, yeah, this is correct. Down to limits of any observation, the entire creation is alive. The entire creation is sub or sub-sub or sub-sub-sub. Much like the generations in the family. Then the planet which we walk upon would be sub-sub-logos. Is that right? And Ra says a planetary entity is so named only as logos if it is working in harmonic fashion with entities or mind-body complexes upon its surface or within its electromagnetic field. Okay. I'm gonna go over this one. Do the sub-logos, such as our sun, do they have a metaphysical polarity? So it's asking about the sun's polarity, positive or negative. And Ra says this is not so. As you see, the term entities through the level of planetary have the strength of intelligent infinity. Through the use of free will, going through the actions of beingness, the polarity is not, as you understand, polarity. It is only when the planetary sphere begins harmonically interacting with mind-body complexes, and more especially mind-body-spirit complexes. So, just to kind of go over that one again, this is saying, when it begins interacting with mind-body complexes, and this is more especially mind-body-spirit complexes, taking into consideration that we ourselves have to understand that we are spirit manifest, as well as mind-body-spirit manifest as one. Because a complex is like you take couple different things, and you combine them into one, and then you're acting as one. You are more than one thing, but you are acting as that one being through all of these things. That planetary spheres take on the distortions due to the thought complexes of entities interacting with the planetary entity. The creation of the one infinite creator does not have polarity that you speak of. Okay, so this is, it's asking about polarity of the sun, but it kind of gave more to the answer. So, because it kind of answered a question that I had when I was going over this, what about the planets? Well, it's saying, well, yeah, I mean, yes, it can be sub-sub logos, but really it takes on that form when it becomes so much of a collective, and the collective understands that they're becoming more and more connected. Especially gaining that spirit complex, mind body spirit complex capability. Okay. So let's go back over here. Okay. Here we go. This is 91.2. I have listed different the different minds and would like to know if they are applied to this particular aspect. First, we have the cosmic mind. I would think the same for all sublogoi like our sun. Is this correct? Cosmic mind, sublogoi like our sun. So, the sun can be described as the cosmic mind. Okay. And this is talking about the call, which let me go in here, but because I have yet to understand how time works, as we all do. But as far as the calling that they talk about, so this is channeled in the 1980s, and I do believe they're already, really, what they tried to say is that there was already a calling, and that's how they even were able to work with this group that was channeling this info. So, yeah. So, was the call in each instance from third density beings, or was the call from additional or other densities saying we're human beings, like in third density right now, as we understand it, were we the ones that have provided this call, or did they come in from fourth or second, or well, what's going on there? And they do say the latter supposition is correct. In this particular case of the sun sublogos, third density is the density of the calling. So that's kind of an oxymoron there, because they do say the other densities, or the latter was right, and that would be other densities. Okay, I see. So up here they're talking, they're asking about Alpha Centauri and other systems and that. So, but they're talking in this case, in this section, our sun, their density was the density of calling. And this was really interesting. Let me read it. And they're talking about one of the archetypes. With the half moon on the crown represent receptivity of the subconscious mind. This is a symbol not given by Ra, but it is not distasteful, for within your own culture, the moon represents the feminine and the sun the masculine. Thusly, we accept this portion as a portion of the image, for it seems significant. So, it kind of leads me to believe that they really didn't look at the sun is masculine and the moon is feminine, but I can see why our culture thinks that way, and I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. And I think that's what they're saying too. It's not really wrong, I mean, I can see how we've been led to believe that. The moon definitely represents well, reflection for one, but it does have that soft, gentle, feminine quality to it. And in the sun, of course, masculine is what provides the seed. And it's very bright, it's very strong. So I can see how our culture has kind of labeled this as a masculine feature. But much like the archetypes, Ra says, it doesn't really matter the gender. It's just that, when they were giving this, it's like we were trying to show you. What archetype or what gender the archetypes tend to kind of be attracted to the most, much like the emperor and the empress, the empress being the mother figure. So you have a person that's feminine, they're more apt to call in the Empress versus the Emperor. It doesn't mean me as a woman cannot call in, the Emperor when I need to. So definitely have needed to. So, but it's just the qualities behind it. And I do want to talk about this. It is talking about at one point in time when they did, or they almost was able to make like a physical contact with those in Egypt, I believe 18,000 years ago. So yesterday you were speaking of first contact made by the Confederation, which occurred during our third major cycle. So 18,000 years in the past is still in this cycle. You stated that you appeared in the skies over Egypt at that time, approximately. Aid was first given to Atlantis. Can you tell me why you went to Egypt and orientation of attitude and thinking when you first went to Egypt? I mean, in other words, what was your thoughts like? The time that you speak of, there were those who chose to worship the hawk-headed sun god, which you know as vibrational sound complex Horus. Horus was the son of Isis and Osiris in that story. And he was represented by a sun disk, and I believe Isis was too, as well as Osiris as well. We were drawn to spend some time scanning the people for a serious interest amounting to a seeking, with which we might help without infringement. We found that at the time, the social complex was quite self-contradictory in its so-called religious beliefs, and therefore there was not an appropriate calling. Thus, at that time, which you know of is approximately 18,000 of your years in the past, we departed without taking action. And I'd love to know, really what that entails, what's self-contradictory in religious beliefs. And I don't know. I mean, I know humans tend to make a religion out of everything, and maybe that's what it's talking about. Like, they're saying we're not really looking for religion here. We're really not. It's just a just want you to be better people and look for, ways to improve, be connected with everything, feel connected with each other, and stop looking at others as other people, but as parts of yourself. And so I think that's what they're looking for. There's somewhere in here that says, they've tried in Egypt a couple different times, and each time it's either been distorted or they weren't ready. One quote in here says they didn't look at us as other selves. So yeah, they were looking at them as others, as in separation, and not really as other portions of the creator itself. Okay. All right, and this is back into spiritual mass, which we've gone over in one episode, but I will read this again. Could you define spiritual mass? Spiritual mass is that which begins to attract the outmoving and outgoing vibratory oscillations. So oscillations is like that back and forth movement of waves or water. It's oscillating. It's constantly moving back and forth, vibration. Attract the outgoing and ongoing vibratory oscillations of beingness into gravity. Speaking in a spiritual sense, well, of the great central sun core or creator of the infinite universes. So here we go with the galactic logos, the galactic sun. Let's see. And as far as our actual sun, the sub logos, I think it's more of a radiator of this type of energy. And here is where they kind of clarify the language a little bit. We call galaxy that is local. Your sun is what we would call the center of a galaxy. And we see you have another meaning for this term. So there's where they clarify, and it's somewhat early on in the work out of session 16. Thank goodness they kind of cleared that up early on. Okay, and this is important to go over. And this is out of session 40. I thought that I would make a statement and let you correct it. I'm trying to make a simple model of the portion of the universe which we find ourselves in, starting with the logos or the sub-logos, our sun. We have white light emanating from this. Again, as I said earlier, I mean, what we see in the sky is a body. It's a light body, but it's a body. This is made up of frequencies ranging from red to violet. Yes, I am assuming that this white light then contains the experiences through all of the densities. As we go into the eighth density, we go back into a black hole, which emerges on the other side of another logos. So that's a really good question. Like, what happens inside the sun? If the sun is a manifestation of a sixth density, and of course, the way that we perceive it here in third density is a big ball of light in the sky, the light body of this entity. It is, if we go into the center and we do become part of this another octave after the seven, where does it go back? Does it go into like a black hole? I mean, the wormhole goes somewhere. Does it release the light on the other side into another sun? And Ra answers, the concept of the white light of the sub-logos being prismatically separated and later at the final chapter being absorbed again is basically correct. However, there are subtleties involved which are more than semantic. The white light which emanates and forms the articulated sublogos has its beginning in what you may be metaphysically seen as darkness. The light that comes into darkness and transfigures it, causing the chaos first, and then it organizes and become reflective or radiant. Thus, the dimensions came into being. Okay, so the darkness. The light comes in and kind of shakes some things up a little bit. There might be a little bit of chaos as far as atoms bouncing around and trying to figure out where they stand, and then it becomes organized at some point, and then it's able to kind of just radiate. Then the dimensions came into being. Now, are they talking about density versus dimensions? I'm not really sure. I think at first they kind of use the two interchangeably. It's actually a lot easier for me to understand density than it is dimension, especially reading so much of the Law of One. I can kind of grasp that, and then knowing the layers of the rainbow and that and the chakras. So they go on. Conversely, the blackness of a black hole, of the black hole, metaphysically speaking, is a concentration of white light being systematically absorbed once again into the one creator. Finally, this absorption into the one creator continues until all the infinity of creations have attained sufficient spiritual mass in order that all form once again the great central sun, as you would imagine it, of the intelligent infinity awaiting potentiation by free will. And every time I hear potentiation, I think of the archetypes, the potentiator. Well, that's like a sudden, especially a potentiator of the spirit, the towers they call it. But really, it's about that sudden light coming in, that sudden movement. Thus, the transition of the octave is a process which may be seen to enter a timelessness of unimaginable nature. To attempt to measure it by your time measures would be useless. Therefore, the concept of moving through the black hole of the ultimate spiritual gravity well and coming immediately into the next octave misses the concept, the self-concept of corollary of the portion of this process which is timeless. So just think for a minute. There's no way to really describe that. But imagine everybody just got rid of their clocks. Didn't have anything to focus on as far as time goes. Of course, we would still be measuring, time with the cycle of the sun and the moon and that as humans do, but imagine Earth was locked into place. It wasn't rotating. Everybody threw away their clocks. Either the sun was shining all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and or the sun was not shining. It was darkness all the time on one side of the planet. Imagine not having to worry about time. It would just be a very, you just can't describe that, but just trying to give an idea of how we would experience that, throwing away all the clocks and then the earth was locked into place. You wouldn't have any concept of time. It wouldn't matter. You would just, of course, I think once you get to that point, you don't really have laundry to do or, a job to go to, but I guess your job would just be to be. And to radiate, to assist others as you would see fit. I don't know, what would a job be like in sixth density? Or seventh? Or past that? Okay, this is talking about the beginning of the Milky Way, so out of 82. I will listen. Don is asking, I will assume at first, what was the first occurrence that we would find presently with our physical apparatus? Was the first occurrence the appearance of a star of the nature of our sun? In the case of galactic systems, the first manifestation of the logos is a cluster of central systems which generate the outward spiraling energies, producing in their turn further energy centers for the logos or what you would call stars. So there's like a cluster of systems. So thinking of nerve bundles when a human being is first created, even in the womb, I mean really it's your nervous system that takes hold. The brain has to develop, the nervous tissue has to create electrical systems and that's really what signifies everything to actually work. Without our nervous system, there nothing would form. That is what produces the signals for things to actually work. And then everything that's created after that, is working, has to work with your nervous system. If you want a chemical to be produced, such as adrenaline, your emotions, your mind has to send a signal itself to the nervous system, and the nervous system can send the neurotransmitters to certain areas. Very critical. Okay. This is out of 41. What I want to know, what I want to do now is investigate as first density is formed. What happens and how energy centers are first formed in beings? Let me first ask you, does it make any sense to you if the sun itself has a density? Or is it all the densities? Is it a certain density? Is it fifth, sixth, what? I like I said earlier, what we see is from a third density point of view is a light body. The sub logos of, I'm sorry, the sub logos, our sun, is of the entire octave and is not that entity which experiences the learning slash teachings of entities such as yourself. It's up there just being and creating. So it's the entire octave. So it is a rainbow. Okay. And this is where they describe somebody. So let's go over this one. Okay. Development. Yeah, development. Can you tell me of anything of the origin of the plan for development? Consider and remember the discussion of the logos with the primal distortion of free will. Each galaxy developed is its own logos. I'm sorry, each galaxy developed its own logos. The logos has complete free will in determining the paths of intelligent energy, which promote the lessons of each of the densities given the conditions of planetary spheres and the sun bodies. And right now, for some reason, I'm thinking that we went over earlier, does it have polarity, positive and negative? But we know certain star systems are negative, aren't they? Or is it just the through free will they have developed a negative polarity based on the experiences or trauma and how they're responding to trauma? I mean, if over time, yeah, I mean, it's awkward, it's not wrong. I mean, and the negative does exist for the purpose of growth, for the positive. Okay, this is out of 71. It seems to me from this that the sub logo, such as our sun, uses free will to modify only slightly a much more general idea of created evolution. So that the general plan of created evolution, which seems then to be uniform throughout the creation, is for this process of the sublogoi to grow through the densities and under the first distortion, which is free will, find their way back to the original thought. Is this correct? This is correct. So, really, in my opinion, it's saying, so our sun, yeah, it's a co-creator, but it's still kind of a distortion of the actual logos, which is galactic, and I imagine it goes even further up than that. Not just galactic, but universal. It's still a distortion. It's using its own free will, which is separate from the, well, I don't want to say separate, but as a co-creator, it can plan and co-create and modify, what it feels is appropriate for that area and what that area needs, so on and so forth. Okay. So then, the sub-logos, such as our sun, creating its own particular evolution of experience, refines the cosmic mind. So it's about refining. Or articulates it by its own additional bias or biases. Is this correct observation? This is a correct observation with one exception that concerns the use of the term addition. Okay, its own additional bias. Okay, a term addition which suggests that the concept of that which is more than the all mind. Instead, the archetypical mind is a refinement of the all mind and a pattern peculiar to the sub-logos choosing. Okay. So, it's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of odd thinking of our sun having its own bias or biases, but I guess that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's a. As I said, it's using its own personal bias and distortions of itself. Kind of like us. This is asking about other planets in session 30. I was wondering if any of the other planets had metaphysical evolution. You stated that much of this major galactic system dwells spiritually as part of the Logos. By that, do you mean that near the center of this major galactic system, that the stars there do not have planetary systems? This is correct? And he says, no. Ra says, no, this is incorrect. The Logos has distributed itself throughout your galactic system. However, the time-space continua of some of your more central systems is much further advanced. Time-space, it's your metaphysical point of views. Me check the time here, because I do want to make sure I get the moon and the star. Let's go over the sun as an actual archetype. And there's only a place or two that they do speak about it. But now that we've got a really good idea of what the sun actually is, it's a co-creator, which is, I mean, really what we are. And we do have a sun body within ourselves. And let's see here. Let's see what they say. Oh, God. So, yeah, significator of the spirit. And I'm not sure that I understand it still fully. I mean, I've had a couple revelations going over this information, especially going over, the star, the moon, and the sun. So, the star being archetype number 17. I mean, that is your faith, and it's something that you reach for. It's something that follows you around on your journey, or guides you through your journey, I should say. And once you reach for the faith and cling to your faith, that's your catalyst to the spirit. And when you're living in the spirit, things are viewed on a much different level, and you're seeing. Hopefully, you're seeing all, what's the word for it? Distortions of things, but a catalyst is something that changes something's state. So, yeah, it makes you move. Catalyst is something that makes you move. I don't know about you, but lately I've been feeling when there's a catalyst, getting ready to approach. You can kind of feel it in the air. So, and it's your choice on how you want to take on this catalyst, or are you acting as the catalyst for another self? Because we do, we do play those roles as far, and also other selves act as catalysts for you, or situations in general act as catalyst for you. And it's your choice based on how you want to react or not act. And we do not have to take the catalyst. We can, but sooner or later, I'm sure it will present itself again in some shape or form. But you go through this catalyst, which is the star. You're reaching for this faith. All right. So catalysts happen. You lean on your faith to get through this, and then you reach a point where the catalyst is over, and then you have the moon, which is the experience of the spirit, and that kind of throws you into a place where you're reviewing this recent catalyst, and you're viewing this catalyst and your responses or reactions, and you're just reflecting on this entire experience and what you have hoped to gain or not hoped to gain, or what behaviors are you not going to repeat, or what behaviors are you going to repeat? Do you need this lesson anymore? That's the experience of the spirit. You're just experiencing it, you're reviewing it, you're reflecting it. And then you have the sun, which is significator. It's your significant view of you, viewed from the spirit, if that makes sense. I know what my brain wants to say. It's getting my mouth to form the words. This is your significant self viewed from your spirit. And this is the sun. The sun. radiation or radiating the light. So let's go over. Did I already go over this one? Is the question. No, I have not. Okay, let's go over it. Now, the first evolution then was planned by the Logos, but the first distortion, free will, was not extended to the product. That's the first evolution wasn't planned by the Logos, but the free will was not extended to the product. At some point, this first distortion, free will, was extended, and the first service to self polarity emerged. Is this correct? Or can you tell me the history of the process of this emergence? Meaning, how did the negativity, let's go, yeah, that is. It's very important to learn how service to self. So, the first logos to instill what you now see as free will in this full sense and its sub-logoi came to this creation due to the contemplation in depth of the concepts or possibilities, conceptualizations of what we call the significators. Yeah, so significant view. The logos posited the possibility of the mind, the body, and the spirit being complex, meaning functioning as one entity, all three together. In order for the significator to be what it is not, it then must be granted the free will of the creator. This set in motion is quite lengthy in your term, series of logoi improving or distilling this seed thought. The key was the significator becoming a complex. So, significator becoming a complex. I do believe significator of mind, significator of body, and significator of spirit. And I'm not quite sure, to be honest, what they're meaning by in order for the significator to be what it is not. Knowing what you are not, I guess, would be pretty important. Knowing what you are, which is a portion of the creator and creation being a portion of you. Okay, let's move on. Now I'll kind of let you guys stew on that one a little bit. Out of 78, our particular logos, when it created its own particular creation, was at some point far down the evolutionary spiral of the experiment, with the significator becoming what it was not, or in effect creating the polarity that we strive for in third density, and therefore I was assuming primarily concerned in the design of the archetypes, right? And designing them in such a way so as they would create the acceleration of this polarization. Is that any way correct? Ra says, we would only comment briefly. Generally, it's correct. You may fruitfully view each logos and its design as the creator experiencing itself. So as the sun as a sub-logos is the creator experiencing itself, and the sun as an archetype, can we say the same thing for it? It's the sun experiencing itself, you know, radiating this love of the creator as the creator, knowing it's the creator. The seed concept of the significator being a complex introduces two things. First, the creator against creator in a one sub logos in what you may call dynamic tension. Secondly, the concept of free will, once having been made fuller by its extension into the sub logoi known as mind body spirit complex, creates and recreates and continues to create as a function of its very nature. A function of our very nature is to create. Okay, but let's kind of go over that again. Okay. The seed concept of the significator becoming complex introduces two things. Firstly, the creator against creator in one sub logos. So the creator, so you as a creator going against, not really going against, I don't like really using that term, but recognizing that, yeah, we are the same being, but living in two different experiences. We each have free will, but as a different, well, a different entity, but okay, yeah. In one sublogue, so in what you call dynamic tension. Secondly, the concept of free will, once having been made fuller by its extension into the sublogoi known as mind body spirit complexes. They're talking about people here or entities, animals, creates and recreates and continues to create as a function of its very nature. So, okay. Again, it's like a generation thing, grandparents, parents, children. It gives its free will for the next generation to create what it feels is appropriate. Okay, so this answers a question about the significator becoming complex. So, to be complex is to consist of more than one characteristic element or concept. So, yeah, it's three different things functioning as one being together. It's like trying to lift a car. Well, one person, one aspect is not going to do much, but maybe if you get like, well, you're going to need like 20 people, I guess, to lift a car, probably more than that. But I'm just trying to give a good example. What good is one when you can use all of them? And you can be much more efficient if you use the different characteristics of yourself as one. Mind, body, spirit. I mean, what good is a body if you don't have a mind to, kind of dictate the actions of the day? Is your body even going to move? What good is, I mean, I realize mind body could somewhat work on some level, but you throw the spirit in there and things are done much more efficiently. You're able to make much more, hopefully, rational decisions and thinking things through. You have that, discernment quality, throwing that in there and functioning as one being tends to be a little bit more efficient, as I said. Okay. Let's go down to. Okay, yeah, so yeah, the significator of the spirit, which is the sun, is the 19th archetype. Is this correct? And can you describe it? So again, the sun as the logos is really, to be honest, it's really the same thing to me. I mean, everybody might have a different, opinion of what the sun means. When I'm doing readings and the sun comes up, it's usually like, like a triumph or something of that nature, and when you're thinking about how we actually are experiencing it, it's really just being radiating the love, understanding that you are this portion of the creator and being and serving and having the will to actually get the actions done to serve and knowing that you're radiating this love and being that example. And the answer to previous query we set up, the significator of the spirit is that living entity which either radiates or absorbs the love and the light of the one infinite creator, radiates it to others or absorbs it for the self. As far as a negative aspect of the sun, I mean, black hole sun kind of rings a bell for me. And I often think about you energy vampires. Have you been around folks that just seem to drain your energy and that? And they do. They feed off of what it is that you're giving. The sun in a passive aspect is just a radiator, you know, and to me, I feel like that's much more powerful when you just stand in your love and stand in your knowing that you are part of this creation and creation is part of you. And then in this process of radiation or absorption, since we have what I would call a flux or a flux rate, we the measure of the power of the adept. The adept. This may be seen as a reasonably adequate statement. So, and also light bringer, light bearer, light bearer, light bringer kind of falls into that a little bit. We should be, as far as going down the positive aspect, focused on radiating your own energy instead of, you know, trying to get reactions out of others that's feeding off of their energy. I believe that's called louche. So, just saying. Let's not be like that. Okay, and I'm not sure why this came up in the section of significator of the spirit, but the sun, but it is talking about the first Vedic process. So I found it quite interesting. But I will read it. The mechanism of the veiling between the conscious and unconscious portion of the mind was a declaration that the mind was complex. This in turn caused the body and the spirit to become complex. So I would have to go over that one a few times to really understand what it's trying to say as far as the veiling process and how it relates to the sun as an archetype. But the logos is, I'm sure, what caused the veiling or found the veiling to be an appropriate experiment. Before the veiling, we were very much like spoiled children, and there was no growth, there was no catalyst, you know, there was nothing to really initiate that growth. So, let's go into, I'm kind of doing it backwards. I know the sun is the 19th, and that is significator. So let's actually go to the star, which is the catalyst of the spirit. So it's quite interesting. So, I mean, really, the only thing that needs covered in the star is that it represents faith or hope. So, what I did was, which also, too, I kept thinking, well, the sun is a star. How are they separate? So I wasn't quite understanding that. I was trying to find, you know, a reasoning behind why they've separated the sun and the star, because that's there, it's the same thing. But I think in, as far as an archetype, it was really meant to represent faith or hope. And I think what I actually say is, let's see here, where is it? They're two separate things. But when I was looking up the definition of faith and hope, and really they're very similar, so I'm not quite sure. Here it is, yeah. Yeah. This archetype is a catalyst, it's a spirit. You call it hope, we prefer to call it faith. That's what Ra says. Because of the elimination of the potentiator of the spirit, which is a tower, it's that quick lightning bolt, that sudden awakening, that sudden illumination. That faith will begin to cause changes in the adept's viewpoint. So, when I'm thinking of this, see, I grew up, again, my background is Christian, and the biblical terms are kind of what drew me to a story in the Bible, and it's called the North Star, the Northern Star, where the wise men followed the star, and it led them to the Virgin Mary, who had just given birth to, you know, what we know of as Christ. So, if that it kind of put some things into perspective for me when I was able to kind of couple it with my own. And maybe we shouldn't do that, but I know I have a much broader understanding of what the star is now. So, you know, faith is what guide you on your journey through these lessons. What comes after? I think that's hope. So holding on to that hope. So let's go over the. So this is the biblical definition of faith. Okay. Faith is by which believers come to God and put their trust in Him for salvation. Okay. Faith is a confidence or trust in a person, a thing, or concept. So trust. Okay. Trust, I think, is the trust that there is this creation, that there is a plan for everything, and trust that, if we do continue to live as good people and strive to be good people and serve others and be honest and keep that vision that we see and trust that we know our spirit is eternal in a way, that's, I think, the faith. And going back to the wise men, they faith is what guided them. The faith that they probably knew that this lady was giving birth to, what we know of as Christ, and faith that we were going in the right direction, and faith that maybe we did get a word from Creator that this was going to be in a situation happening, and we followed that trust that Creator was showing us the way. That's what the star is, that faith. When you go into hope, hope is really defined as an optimistic state of mind, So is there a difference? I don't know. I know in certain societies they have separated the two, faith and hope, but hope really is defined and those is almost like a Pandora's box. Hope is the only thing left. Hope is what we hold on to in times of when things get rough. Hope that, not everything is forever. This too shall pass. Hope that lightens things up a little bit as far as the star. So, and it is the 17th archetype, the star, which is, that faith. So, as far as Ra goes, they would like us to prefer to use the word faith. Although, again, hope and faith, I maybe there's a difference, but okay, so let's go into there's the star there. It is catalyst of the spirit, so significator, catalyst. Experience of the spirit. So again, I kind of went over a little bit early, too early, but that's okay. This is the moon, and again, from my experience, no pun intended, when I recognize that I have just been through a catalyst of either mind, body, spirit, it doesn't matter. I often go through this reflecting, this catalyst that just happened. Was my responses appropriate, if it's not, do I need to take accountability or really does it matter? I think we all have a responsibility to make things right, whether or not we feel we were in the right or wrong. I don't think it matters. I think we all have that responsibility to just make it right no matter what. So, it's that reflecting. So and my also went through kind of visuals where the moon is something that causes tides, and it makes the gravitational pull makes the water raise. We're 70% water, so when we go through like a full moon phase, and I think this is why consciousness is raised. Years of working as a nurse, I mean, that is no lie. Things people have just kind of erratic behavior. I mean, even myself, really. So, I mean, none of us are immune to that. It's about it recognizing it, and not wanting to, fall into that type of behavior again. But as the full moon comes, our our bodies, our spirit, the elements in our bodies tend to raise up. And I think that that brings up a lot of unresolved issues that we may need to go in and heal. And this is why it's called the experience, because you're just reviewing and reflecting and being in that. And how do we in turn act as this archetype? I'm not entirely sure. I'm still working on that. But what I have found is, are we able to act as that reflection for somebody else? If somebody comes to us for advice, are we able to give them reflection? Are we able to give them prompts to reflect? Is that how we act as the experience of the spirit for somebody else? This is something that I think we do need to get into practice. How do we act like this, act as this for other selves? Once we gain that action in ourselves and learn how it's working for ourselves first, I think then only then can we understand how to represent that archetype for another self. So we heal ourselves and then we help heal others. So as other portions of the creator. So, okay. One thing I do want to go over with this. Let's check our time. Okay. Oh, okay. We've done good today. About an hour and 6 minutes, so I'll wrap it up here. But this is super interesting. So the experience of the spirit. This is session 80, the experience of the spirit, which we call the moon, is then by far the more manifested influences upon polarity of the adept. Why? I mean, is this because we're in our the mood of reflecting and experiencing the most recent catalyst, and we get to see review all of our reactions and responses and others' reactions and responses, and we're just experiencing all of that. We're experiencing the last catalyst, and yeah, that would definitely have the influence upon our polarity, how we respond to that recent catalyst, right? Even the most unhappy of experiences, which seem to occur in the catalyst of the adept, seen from the viewpoint of the spirit. Again, when you're seeing things from the viewpoint of the spirit, it's a little bit different. Your emotions aren't involved. The emotions come from the mind. The spirit is just an overview. You're looking at things from all perspectives. May with the discrimination possible in shadow be worked with until light, equaling the light of the brightest noon, descends upon the adept, and positive service to others illumination has occurred. So that's what we call the experience of the spirit. That's the moon. So going through these recent catalysts and other catalysts too. Like, I don't know why it has to be most recent. I mean, wouldn't we be able to call in the experience of the spirit if we're wanting to go over a catalyst that you feel happened 5 years ago and review it? I mean, I don't know. Can we do that? I say we can. But it's worked with, you're reviewing and you're reflecting and you work with that, until the light of the brightest noon descends upon the adept, which this is archetype 18. What comes next would be the sun. So yeah, it would be the sun coming in until the light of the brightest noon descends upon the adept. Or, and I'm sorry, positive service to others illumination has occurred. So then we step into the significator of the spirit, which is understanding who you are, what your role is in that catalyst, that you acted for a catalyst for others or acted as a catalyst for yourself. You get to see how that role made you, that is your significant self, that is archetype 19. And then what comes next, I believe, is it's a transformation. Transformation. So then you understand that you go through this transformation. You've seen yourself as your significant self. You go through that transformation, and then the great way happens to be putting all that in use, putting all the lessons of all of that, putting that in use, learning how to work through the spirit, so unto others. So I will leave it at that for today. And not enough can be said about the sun. I only went through just a very, very small portion of the sun as it is the sub logos. But I hope that helps, going over the sun as the sub logos before going over it as an archetype, putting that perspective. So, because it is a logos, but it is also an archetype. So, anyways, we will see you again soon. I appreciate you all for listening in. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to do so. Love you all. Have a great weekend.